I'm excited that we're beginning a new series called Entrusted. And I have a lot of things that God has been putting on my heart. And as we've been praying and seeking the Lord as leaders, we're saying, God, where is it you're moving us to as a congregation? You know, just like Moses and the children of Israel had to follow the pillar and the cloud and follow the Lord as they moved out, there's a sense where we need to continually be in step with the Lord and be in His will and His way for us. And so I want to just pray that God would continue to move us forward. And where we're sensing His leadership is over some of the things I'm going to be talking about this fall. One of my biggest priorities as a pastor is to help people to develop a biblical worldview. Basically, to help people discover how the Bible forms the foundation by which we can build our lives, or the lens by which we can see life. And so as we're going through this series, I want to provide a lens or a worldview, if you will, for all of us, that we would see our lives through a new perspective. Now, obviously, there are a lot of professing Christians who believe in God, but don't know how or what that means for their everyday lives. They don't know how that's really lived out. There's kind of a disconnect between our belief in our minds and in our hearts and the practice of how we live out Christianity. There's a lot of people that I would describe as believing Christians, but sadly practicing atheists. It's almost as if they live their lives. Certainly there's a kind of a divorce between their belief system and the way in which that lives out. And as we see in Scripture, and we're going to see in the months ahead, that's a big issue. So how does the Bible really relate to life? I mean, how should Christianity really be practiced? And so this series, which I've entitled Entrusted with the subtitle A Life of Stewardship, is to help us see the reality that God has given all of us many, many blessings to which we are accountable for, and we will be accountable for before God on Judgment Day. So all of our lives, God has given us a lot of blessings, and we need to make sure that we're using the things that God has given us for His glory and honor. Jesus says in Luke 12:36, He says, "To whom much is given, much is required." And so when we talk about this subject of stewardship, I want to be very clear from the outset. We're not just going to talk about money here. To me, this is a much bigger issue. How do we live out all of our lives in obedience to God? It's about all of life. And so this fall, we're going to talk about a number of different subjects each Sunday. We're going to talk about how we steward our time, how we steward our talents, our spiritual gifts, our relationships, our bodies, our souls, our minds, how we steward our work and our career, how we steward God's creation and the possessions that God has given us. So really, we're going to cover a lot of ground this fall. So I want to make very clear that when we talk about the subject of entrusted and living a life of stewardship, it's more than just money, it's all of life. It's being a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Somebody once said that there is no detail of life outside the circle of stewardship. And that's right. All of our lives, there's a sense, whatever we have, it's all been entrusted to us by God. And so the aim of this series, you want to know what kind of the end game of where I'm driving at and where we as leaders are sensing God's direction for this church, where we're going, is to call Clay House and all of us as individuals to a life of faithful obedience to God in every facet of life. And I want to say, as I've been preparing for this and reading and getting in the Scriptures, God has been deeply convicting me of many, many areas where I feel like I have not been a faithful steward or as good a steward as I can be. And so I'm excited for this series, but I also want to say that my prayer is that as we go through this series, that God would begin to challenge and change us from the inside out in each of the areas, each area of our life. And so we're going to go through this together. And for those of you that have not signed up in a small group, we have a lot of people already signed up. I think close to 100 people already in a small group as we're going through this fall. If you're still interested in being a part of a small group, it's still not too late. We do have a sign-up sheet in the Connection Center. This is a way for you to get in community with people. But the plan is, as I go through each of these sermons week to week, you guys are going to have follow-up discussions and questions, and you're going to kind of attack the Scriptures and get into them yourselves and discover how God would be kind of gripping you and changing you and challenging you. And so we have a lot of different groups that are going on all around Colorado Springs. And so I want to just invite you, if you have not yet joined one, I would encourage you to do so today because we're launching them this week. And some of the things I'm going to be talking about today, you're going to be discussing in your small group. So if you have any questions about that, do go to the Connection Center on that. But I'm excited. So let's jump in here this morning. I do want to invite you to take out your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go way back to the beginning. We're talking about having a biblical worldview and a foundation in our lives for stewardship. We have to have a good foundation. And to build a good building in a natural sense, you have to have a good foundation. You know, the strength of any structure depends on the strength of the foundation. And today I want to provide some theological foundation for biblical stewardship. And so I'm just going to read one verse here, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, but we're going to kind of camp out here a little bit this morning in Genesis. But in verse 1 it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Of course, as you look through the rest of this chapter, you see how in the 6 days of creation, God had created all these things, the light, the waters, the vegetation, the stars, the animals, everything that was made, God made it. And in verse 26, we see that God made man and he made woman. And what this really means that is, in order for us to understand the foundations of biblical stewardship, the first thing we have to recognize is that God created everything. God created everything. He is the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, you think, for example, of atheism. A lot of people have this mindset that there is no God. And if people who do believe that kind of philosophy, if they have that, it has no rational basis for a life of stewardship. If there is no God, then sort of everything belongs to itself. If there is no God, there is no subsidiary ownership of human beings, that we're not accountable to anybody, and there is real no life of stewardship. So the concept of stewardship really breaks down if you believe there is no God. Neither does stewardship find place in the polar opposite of atheism, but polytheism, the belief system that we worship many gods. If the universe, you could say, is ruled by multiple gods, it kind of creates a schizophrenia, if you will, of multiple domains. And polytheism and its expressions does not create a sense of stewardship in humankind. You think, for example, of another philosophy system or another set of beliefs is pantheism, or that nature, everything around us, is God itself. That as well cannot consistently sustain a mindset of stewardship. You know, if a tree is God and everything in nature is God, then there is no personal accountability to a God for one's life. It is only the belief in monotheism, or the belief in one God, one true God, that can give us an adequate basis for a life of stewardship. And so as we look at Genesis and we see these first few chapters here, we see that the foundation has clearly been established. It is one God, one true and living God, that has established and created everything in the universe, in the heavens and the earth. And so since God created everything, then it follows that everything belongs to Him. He owns it all. Dennis, if you read Psalm chapter 24, verses 1 and 2, listen to what the psalmist says here.
"The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters."
So God created everything, and as a result of that, He owns everything. Exodus 19:5 says, "For all the earth is mine," the Lord clearly says. Psalm 50, verse 10, He says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. And Haggai 2:8, He says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine." So God created everything, but not only did He create it, as we understand, He also owns it all. And everything belongs to Him. You know, Abraham in the Old Testament called God the Most High Possessor of heaven and earth. So friends, if we're going to have a solid and adequate understanding of the fact that our lives are entrusted and we've been given some things, we have to remember first that God owns it all. And so the point is, unless we understand God's absolute ownership and see our relationship with Him as our owner, we cannot approach the subject of stewardship really in any meaningful way. We have to understand this as a foundation as we move ahead. You know, it's common for some people to think, well, I'm self-made or I'm self-sufficient. And consequently, they regard everything that they have as their own possession. But that philosophy is a vicious lie. That we are God's creation. In Psalm chapter 100, verse 3, says it is God who has made us and not we ourselves. So only biblical theism, or the understanding of God being one true and living God, provides the adequate theological context for doctrine and practice of biblical stewardship. God has disclosed Himself in the Scriptures, and without that disclosure, there could be no comprehension of our lives as stewards. So we have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to the foundations. If we're going to proceed this fall, we have to understand God created everything, and not only did He create it, because of that, He owns everything as well. And our relatedness to God, how we relate to Him, this relationship that we have through Him, forms the very heart of biblical stewardship. Pearl Bartell said, "We fail or succeed in our stewardship of life in proportion to how convinced we are that life belongs to God." Let me say that again. That's a critically important statement she makes. She says, "We fail or succeed in our stewardship of life in proportion to how convinced we are that life belongs to God." You know, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, as they're worshiping around the throne, they say, "Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." So it follows then, if God created everything and everything belongs to Him, He owns it all, then the third point that really follows from that is that we are stewards to what He has given us. We are entrusted. Now, when I use this word steward, what am I talking about here? For some of us, maybe we're familiar with that term. Maybe others of us, we've never really heard that. You don't hear that too much in everyday life. What does it mean to be a steward? Well, the Greek word from which the word steward actually is translated has to do with a household. And the noun meaning stewardship is the word from which the English word economy is derived. And basically, a steward is someone who manages somebody else's household. A steward is a trustee or an agent of the benefit of the owner of the household. And so as a result, when we talk about stewardship, because God owns it all, we've been entrusted with things that belong to Him. And as a result of that, we're called stewards of the gifts and abilities and graces and everything that we have in life. So as humans, we are administering, we're stewards of property and gifts and matters that really don't belong to us, but ultimately belong to God. You say, well, I was the one that got the energy to be able to work and earn all these things so I could have all the things I have. But the question is, who gave you that energy and ability and grace to be able to accumulate those things? So as a result, we have to get back to the foundations and understand that God owns it all because He created it all. And because of what we have, He's given us those things and He's entrusted those to us, and we're stewards of them. And it follows then, if we're stewards and the things that we have are entrusted by God to us, then we're accountable to God for how we manage them. Let that sink in for a little bit. Every relationship, everything that you allow to enter into your mind, every word that you speak, everything that you have in life, God has called you to be a steward of those things. The truth is, we're accountable to Him. So accountability, if you think of it this way, breeds responsibility. Because we are stewards, because God has given us some things, He's made us accountable to Him for those things, we are now responsible to God for how we live our lives. Dennis, if you read Genesis chapter 2, actually you're all in chapter 1 yourself, why don't we skip down to chapter 2 and have Dennis read verses 15 and 16 of chapter 2. This is after all the 6 days of creation and God rests on the seventh day. Listen to what is going on here.
The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden."
So God created a beautiful paradise for the man and for the woman. He gave them a beautiful place for them to dwell. He entrusted all these things, but he gave certain parameters. And he says, you can do these things, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can eat of all the other trees, but do not eat of that. So he's giving them boundaries by which they should live within that obedience to God. In other words, he's calling them to be stewards of what he's commanded, and he's also commanded them to work the ground, or basically do business here in the garden, but I want you to be faithful because you're accountable to me for how you conduct yourselves. So Adam was given responsibility with God's garden to work it, to care for it. But again, he gave him boundaries to work within that. And as we read in chapter 3, we're not going to do it here this morning, we see Adam's failure to keep those boundaries. We refer to this often as Christians as the fall, or where he was not faithful as a steward of the boundaries that God had given him. And the lesson it was that Adam failed as a steward of all that God entrusted him. And the truth is, every one of us have failed as stewards in our lives. We've not been faithful. Romans 3:23 says, "For all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And so we've all failed God in the sense that we've had a misappropriation of what we've done. Our actions, our thoughts, we've failed. We've sinned against a holy and righteous God. Romans 1:21, Paul says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." You see, humanity has fallen into sin, and we've messed it up. We did not do the things that God has commanded us to do, and we're without excuse in our failure as stewards of our lives, and we have not stewarded our lives correctly. You know, last year I had some yard work to do in Minnesota. And I had borrowed a neighbor's wheelbarrow. We didn't have one, and I had to do a lot of moving around with topsoil and dirt and all that in the yard. And our neighbor had an old wheelbarrow, so I just asked him, I said, "Can I borrow the wheelbarrow for the day because I got to do a lot of yard work?" He said, "Yeah, go ahead and use it." Well, after hauling around topsoil and dirt for about, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours, my back was killing me, but the wheelbarrow wore out. And it came off the frames, and the wheel basically fell right off. And I broke my neighbor's wheelbarrow. And I felt terrible about it. And I knew that obviously it was his, but I was given responsibility for this wheelbarrow for a certain amount of time to be able to care for, you know, do what I need to do. And so I came back to my neighbor and said, "You know, look, I'm sorry that I broke it. I want to buy you a new wheelbarrow." And he said, "It's no big deal. It was given to me anyway, and it's an old one." I said, "No, I realize that's the case." And to my knowledge, he wasn't a Christian. So I felt that it was a critical thing for me to, as a pastor, he knew, I actually married he and his wife, so he knows I'm a pastor. And so I bought him a new wheelbarrow. But within that, we see a little bit of a dynamic of stewardship. There's an element where the wheelbarrow belonged to him, but I was given responsibility for it. I broke it, and I paid for it in return. Well, if you think about kind of the big picture here, God has given all of us responsibilities. He's given us parameters by which we should live our lives. But all of us have broken God's commandments. We've broken his righteous law. The problem is that we can't pay for it ourselves. You know, I could buy somebody else a new wheelbarrow, but I cannot purchase my own salvation based on a bunch of things that I do to try to sort of allow God to kind of tip the scale so that all of my good works get better than my bad works, and somehow God will shoehorn me into heaven. No, I need the grace of God, basically getting something I don't deserve, getting the mercy of God, not getting what I do deserve that comes through Jesus Christ. And so when we think about stewardship, we have to recognize and come with a huge dose of humility. I think as we go through this series, what I'm asking you and all of us is to come humbly and say, God, there's some things and areas in my life that just need to come under your lordship in a more clear fashion. And Lord, I failed, and so I come humbly before you. Jesus, would you transform my heart? Would you give me the grace to be the kind of man or woman you've called me to be? You know, we all broke what God entrusted to us, and we deserve punishment. We deserve hell itself. But the truth is, friends, God has shown mercy. Amen? God has given us mercy. And the very scene of Adam's rebellion here in Genesis, and we see the curse that happened as a result of his fall, God gave him a promise of a coming Redeemer. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he identified that there would be a seed that would come from the woman. And we know that was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ would be our Redeemer and our Rescuer. So when we think about God's claim on our lives, when we think about what God has done, God has created us, he owns us in that sense, but God has a double claim on our lives because not only does he own us, but he's redeemed us. He's rescued us. He's pulled us out of the muck and the mire of life and in sin, and he set our feet on the rock. And so when we talk about stewardship as Christians, when we talk about how we live our lives, we have to recognize that it's God who has double ownership of our lives. You know, this word redeem means to buy back. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, says that we have been bought with a price, actually one that's far greater than all the silver and gold of this world. And we have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so God has a double claim in our lives for two reasons. Number one, each of us belong to God because he created us. And as I just said, we also belong to God because he has redeemed us. And so friends, the grace of Jesus speaks into stewardship. It speaks into this whole subject. All of us have failed as stewards of the gifts and graces that God has given us, but God has bought us back. He's redeemed us, and he has a double claim on our lives. And friends, the beautiful thing that I've discovered is that God not only knows how to redeem us, he can redeem even our worst mistakes. Some of us, if we look back in our past, I think if all of us are honest, there's some things we're not very proud of. Things that we've done, things that we've done that have caused pain for other people. We've seen how it's had ripple effects in the relationships. We've seen how sin devastates life. But thankfully, friends, as Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And every time the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. We're thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ. And because of that reality, we do not have to be condemned by the things of the past. Yes, it happened. And we still deal with the results and the ramifications of poor choices. But God knows how to redeem our mistakes. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. And so as we talk about this whole subject of being entrusted by God, our ultimate desire should be, Lord, help me to be a person who is trustworthy of the things that you have given me. And a lot of us are very mindful of certain things that God has given us, but we often overlook many, many things. And so as we're going to go over these number of weeks, my hope is to draw attention to even the little things that God has given us that he's calling us into account with and he wants us to be faithful with. Think of it this way. Stewardship is the practice of our relationship with Christ. It's the practice of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're not to be independent in our thinking, but we have to recognize that we are dependent on Jesus Christ, that we're accountable to God. And so that whatever we do, We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And as a result, we're going to be responsible for how we conduct it every second of every day of our lives. And friends, all of us have done some soul searching, we have to recognize we've wasted an awful lot. And we need to bring our hearts and lives into alignment with God's word and say, God, help me not to waste any moment with the opportunities you give me to serve you and your kingdom. You know, all of us are going to be judged before God. Scripture says it's appointed man or woman once to die and then the judgment. So God's going to hold us into account for how we stewarded our lives. Samuel Leith said the fact that when we are in Christ, there is no condemnation for our sins does not mean that there is no examination for our works. God's going to call us into account for how we lived our lives. And it's very easy for us to kind of go about business and just, okay, had a good day at church and go about your business. But can you think for a second, we cannot imagine because it's never happened to this point. There's going to be a point where you and I are going to stand before the living God. You know, Scripture says that, you know, in heaven, he's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. A lot of scholars don't believe that there won't be crying. It just means that when we come before the Lord, we break down and say, God, I wasted my life on so many things. I believe there's going to be many tears. But God, in his great mercy and love, will wipe our tears from our eyes. We're all works in progress. We're all people still needing God's grace. We will need it our whole lives. But God has called us to a deeper level of faithfulness and obedience. And that's my heart and my prayer. And I think it's critically important as a pastor that any time I share a message from God's word that I first examine my own heart. I think it's foolish, any teacher that wants to teach other people, if they don't look at their own soul first and say, God, is there any area in my life that needs to be realigned? And God's been doing a lot of work in my heart. That's why I believe God's going to do great things through this series, not because of me, because I know if he's getting a hold of me, I trust that he's going to get a hold of you too. And he's going to change us and transform us in every area of our lives. So we're going to be judged. We're going to be held accountable to God. And therefore, if we're going to be trustworthy stewards, we have to rely on the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. If he is the vine, as Jesus makes very clear, that we are the branches, that we cannot steward our lives the way God intends for us to steward them unless we are in Christ Jesus, unless we are seeking him, and unless we are drawing near to God at all times by his grace. And so this call to living a life of faithful stewardship is really a call to the feet of Jesus. For all of us to come before Jesus and say, Jesus, is there any area of my life that needs to be realigned, that needs to be transformed? You know, about, 10, 12 years ago, I broke my hip. I was at my grandparents' house in Pennsylvania, and I was going down the stairs pretty fast, dumb. And I tripped over the landing, and I landed on the cement in the basement, and I just felt like this horrible Charlie horse in my right hip. And I was in a lot of pain, and Amy was there, and she was trying to get me around. And I had youth group going on later that night, and I told Amy, I said, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. And it was a big ice cream social kind of thing, and it was a lot of things going on. So I just laid on the couch in the basement. I couldn't even go up the stairs. I said, Amy, I'm spending the night here. I can't move. Well, sure enough, the next morning I got up and I started making my way up the stairs. I'm hobbling around. My grandparents are sitting upstairs for breakfast and they're asking, Tim, are you okay? And I said, I don't know. Maybe I should go to the doctor and have this checked out. And so I did. And then sure enough, next thing I know, the doctor says, yeah, you fractured your hip. You know, at a kid, you know, your age, if you fall 100 times, the one time you fall on it was exactly the time you fell on it and you broke it. Those 99 other times you would never have broken it. I'm like, oh, thankful. You know, I have a lot to be grateful for here today. So I was in a bad mood and I had to have surgery the next day. But, you know, I couldn't move around because there was a fracture in my hip and they had to put 3 pins in my hip for me to be able to go around. Now when I go to airports, I have to show my card and the titanium pins in my hip. it was frustrating to have that work done, but it needed to happen. Because I could not get around and move around in life unless I had that surgery. And I'm praying as we go throughout this series that God would do some surgery in us. Even some of us who have been serving God for many, many years, that there might be an area where God would put us up on the gurney, if you will, put our hearts, our lives, and say, you've been faithful in this area, but there's this area and how you're stewarding your parenting with your kids, or how you're stewarding your marriage, or how you're stewarding the gifts and graces that I've given you, but you've been burying them in the sand. You've not been using them. I believe God is going to move us as a church into a season of transformation. And I think what I'm calling us to this morning is for us to come humbly before God and say, God, do the work you need to do. Change my heart. Lord, if you need to put some pins in my hip, so to speak, if you need to adjust some things in my soul, let it happen. But Lord, have your will in your way. You know, this morning as we talk about this subject of being entrusted by God, we have to understand that the foundation for biblical stewardship rests on several things. First of all, that God created everything. Number two, that God owns everything. Number three, that we're accountable as stewards of what He's entrusted to us. We're accountable. And number four, that accountability breeds responsibility. And finally, number five, that we can only be faithful stewards as we abide in Christ Jesus and rely on His grace. And I think as we go through this, some of us may need to do some personal inventory. You think of somebody stocking a store at nighttime, you know, getting all the things, doing inventory of all the things that they have within the store. God may need to have us do inventory. Say, how's this checking out? And the attitude that you've been having in your workplace. How's that checking out? How are you stewarding your mind or your body? How are you stewarding the way in which you give and all these other things? How is it lining up? So friends, what I'm inviting us to this morning is to a place where we can all humbly say, God, if you need to do surgery on me this fall, in my heart or whatever area of my life, I give you permission. You know, it's interesting, whenever you go in for a lot of things, you have to sign certain documents in order for them to be able to give permission to do all the things they need to do. Maybe some of us in our own hearts need to come before God and say, God, I'm signing the documents. Whatever surgery you need to do in me, would you do it? It might be painful. But Lord, you allow sometimes these painful, challenging things to happen because your work is always redemptive. Because you're bringing me back to yourself. And you're helping me to be a better worshiper of you. And you're helping me to be more faithful.